UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is
matched.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. This episode we visit Craig in Ohio, and Craig has had sightings of UFOs since he was a child and began having abduction experiences as a young adult and all the way through his adult years. Craig is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Craig. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Ohio.
Yes, Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, indeed.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, Craig, you have some experiences you're going to be sharing with us tonight. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us?
Well, sure. Well, basically, it started as a child, and it started with a sighting. Basically, it's my mother took me and my sisters to Alabama, actually to visit a relative. And basically, when we got there, it was the dead of night. And I hadn't been in the country at all. I'm pretty much a city kid, and seeing a bunch of tall trees and long roads and whatever. But when we finally got to the house, which was kind of in the middle of nowhere, we were welcomed by some relatives. They all came out and were hugging us, and I'm the youngest of everybody, so I have no choice but to look up when I'm hugging somebody at that point. And I was hugging somebody and looked over their shoulder and looked at the sky, and straight above us, there was an object going straight across, a white object. It looked spherical, and it was not that far away from us at all. And it went straight, it dipped down, and then it just, like a light clicked out, and there was no sound. And I didn't hear, I didn't hear anything, didn't see anything else from there. And as it turns out, my oldest sister had also seen this object. And the funny thing is that she recalls us looking at each other strangely and not saying anything. I don't remember that part, but later on, maybe months later, somehow the subject came up and she started talking about it. And I started recalling, and I told her, we saw the same thing. So that was the first time that I'd seen anything like that. It's funny thing is that even as a kid, I was curious about UFOs and mysteries and whatever like that, but I never thought I'd see something up close like that. Nothing really happened at that point. After that happened, after the conversation, nothing really happened. It wasn't until maybe a little while later that something strange happened physically that kind of still, as far as explanations go, I don't have an explanation for it. Some metal was found in my knee that didn't make any sense. It was basically a needle-like object, and it had to be taken out. It had to be surgically taken out. The only reason I found it was because I was playing around with another, you know, kid running around, and something that had landed on my knee, and I felt something very sharp. Felt like it entered my knee, but in fact, it was already in my knee, and we had to be surgically taken out. When they found it, it was like a needle-like object, and then they found another metal object in the same knee. And there's no way, you know, I would have recalled being hurt or having something happen where something like that had been in my knee. But these two objects, I don't know what they were. And my mom didn't know what they were, and nobody knew, you know, how in the world could this get this deep inside my knee. So it's possible that maybe it was some kind of object that was put in. And to this day, we have no idea what it was. But by the way, we've been looking. They let us keep these two objects, and my mom put it in a photo album. And the next thing I know, you know, they're both gone. Nobody knows where they are. So that was a little strange. That was both of those incidents were in my childhood, and I did not have an abduction experience until much, much later, actually as an adult. Basically what ended up happening was I lived in California for a while, and believe it or not, the memory of that sighting came back. And the memory of the sighting that I had in Alabama when I was a child, and here I was in my, you know, I was a full adult now, and I was working. And I remember I was working at a movie theater. I was the assistant manager of a movie theater, and I would think about this incident. I'm thinking, why am I thinking about this incident over and over again? It didn't make any sense to me, and I didn't know why it was coming back to me now. But it wasn't until a couple of nights later, after having these memory flashes of this thing, that I had an abduction experience in my bedroom. And it occurred to me at that point that that may have been the reason why I was having that memory go over and over again. As far as like the first sighting, maybe I was being reminded and kind of like subtly being told that, you know, yeah, something's going to happen here, because there was no other explanation for that either. After that, after the what I call the classic abduction, because basically that was the first time I'd gone through that. And by the way, when I went through that, I reacted the way most people would. It was stunning, consisted of me opening my eyes, not being able to move. And now I've had sleep paralysis before when I was a little kid, but this felt different. It felt like, you know, I could see the room, and the room seemed like it was lit up even though the lights were off. And, but when I say lit up, I don't mean with the lamp. I mean with something else. And it felt like I was rising from the bed, and I could see the bedroom tunneling away from me. And the next thing I knew, I tried to open my eyes and I couldn't see anything. It was almost like looking at static on a old TV set. Yeah, I kept trying to look around and I couldn't see anything. But I felt like I was being turned around, like I was laying down and just being kind of floating and turning around. The next thing I remember was coming back in the same way I left out. I could still see, I still couldn't move, and being gently put back down on the bed. And when that happened, when I was able to move, I jumped up, tried to turn on the light. The light bulb blew out of all times for the light bulb to blow out. And I got sick because I was in shock. And it wasn't the most pleasant experience because I have no idea what was happening at that point. I'm putting myself in that position right now. And the shock was a lot. But gradually, I noticed that it started happening again. And it happened on a fairly regular basis. But each time, the good news is, if there's any good news in this, I wasn't hurt. I was never hurt. And I don't want to say I got used to it, but to some degree, I kind of did. Only in the sense that because I knew I was not being hurt, and I knew I wanted to find out more. But you got to keep in mind, I was a kid. I was you know, I'm 56 now. I was in my 20s back then when this was happening. And, you know, so I was curious about it because I was curious about the subject in the first place to some degree, but now it's happening to me. So there were times where they would show up and we were talking about basically the, I'm assuming the grays at this point, but I had not seen them yet. But they, it seemed to me like they were kind of like, you know, checking out as far as what my health was. There were times where I would have a health issue and it seems like they would show up and do the abductions right after that. Like if I had some stomach issue or something like that, or wasn't feeling well, it seemed to me like that's when they would show up. And then there would be other times where they would just kind of show up the same way in the bedroom, the same kind of hovering effect and tunneling away effect in different, you know, situations. But there was one time in particular when they took me and I did have a stomach issue. Took me right afterwards. And, you know, what happened at that point, which I, again, cannot explain, but it was different because this time it seemed like there was an object hovering outside with lights. And again, I'm wide awake and I can see this. The lights began blinking. And for some reason, right at that point, I knew something major had happened with my stomach or my intestines or something. No words were said. I did not, you know, hear anything. I just looked into the lights, almost like somebody staring back at you. When the lights flickered the way they did, and I somehow picked up something else, I actually grabbed my stomach and I'm like, oh my God, you know. So I get the feeling that something that could have killed me, but I don't know exactly what happened. But right after that, the next thing I remember was laying down and somebody was holding my hands and actually kind of putting them over my stomach and patting down or whatever like that, like, you know, almost like they're looking for bad spots or something. Where, who knows, I think maybe my stomach lining was ripped or something major happened. And it looked like they was kind of doing some kind of healing process that I've never seen before. So when I awoke from this, my stomach was fine. There was no pain. It appears that they actually did something to help me out. But I still questioned, okay, why are you helping me out? Because there are lots of people who are having issues, health issues or whatever. And I'm not sure what my connection is to all of this. So I still wonder that even at this point. I haven't had many things happen lately. You know, as I got older, things seemed to slow down as far as that process goes. But in my 20s, my mid 20s and my 30s, that seemed to be the heaviest time as far as activity goes. Now, also though, back in the, when I lived in California, after that incident with the stomach issue and whatnot, maybe I was still questioning what was happening to me, but what ended up happening to this time was a benchmark. I think this is where, so I think maybe somebody was trying to prove to me that this is a real thing and to not question it. I had another experience, abduction experience. And within the experience, I remember them sitting me down and having me look at a screen that looked like a long TV screen, and it looked like visions of Earth. It just looked like a slideshow of Earth going by and different, you know, seas, forests, and even people. And there seemed to be some kind of narration going on behind me. And I reacted the same way I did when I was a school kid, which was I felt a little bit bored. And, you know, I didn't think that this was really doing anything for me. So but something told me, you know, pay attention. Something's happening here. And this is different. This is not an experiment. I'm not being experimented on. So what happened was I listened. I decided, okay, let me go ahead and listen to what they're saying. And the only five words I remember right after I thought that was, you know, I heard somebody say, our people became very sick. And I'm thinking, what do you mean our people became very sick? Are you talking about, you know, the grays? Are you talking about people on Earth? Or are you from Earth? You know, I thought that, but I didn't get any answers to any questions. So the slideshow continued. And then the next thing I remember was being back in bed, but this time it was different. It felt like somebody dropped me in bed. It felt like, you know, usually when they're taking me or when they're bringing me back, my body is, you know, my legs are straight. and my arms are by my sides and whatever. But this time it felt like my legs were twisted one way, my head was another way, my arms were a way out. Again, it looked like somebody, it felt like somebody just dropped me back in bed, but I still couldn't move. And when I was able to move, I turned on the light. This time it stayed on. And I thought about it and thought about what they said. Our people became very sick. What does that mean? You know? And so I remember getting up and going to the bathroom and washing my face and just kind of clearing my mind. And I came back and I was going to go back to sleep. I had to work the next day, I believe. So I laid back. I kept the light on. And for some reason, I decided, even though I was an adult, you know, I kept the light on. I'm like, I just don't feel comfortable turning it off. But as it turns out, all that led to was another discovery. I turned over to my left on the pillow, and I looked at the bed, and I saw something smudged on it, and I didn't know what it was. But when I got a good look at it, it looked like it was fingerprints. And when I say fingerprints, I don't mean of mine. It looked like three long fingers, a long thumb, and the fingers had a lot of space between them, so it was a big hand. But along the thumb, you could see what looked like the outline of what looked like a claw. And I don't know what that is. I had somebody take pictures of it. Unfortunately, I've lost the pictures because I was married years back, got divorced, a lot of things got left. But I did write a book, Aware of Their Presence. And, you know, I talked about this because I was very shocked at looking at this picture and looking at it closely. I knew it was not my hand at all. And I think basically the whole reason that was put there was to say, look, I've heard of people who have had abduction experience, have a benchmark experience where it's like, okay, now I know that this is totally real. That to me was the benchmark. That to me was kind of the somebody saying, okay, do not dismiss this. And I haven't. So even at my age now, I don't delve as far as into things because things aren't have those. I haven't had those experiences as much as I used to, but and they should not dominate your life either. You know, it shouldn't be something that should, you know, dominate your life. But overall, this has been, you know, but when I had that happen, I knew, okay, this must be real. Even if I did, whether I want to talk about it or not. So that was in the 90s. That had to be about 1993 when that happened. Now, later on, I did move from California and moved to Ohio. When I moved, you know, I did question in my mind, gee, I wonder if this is going to continue. They're used to me in California. And, you know, I'm originally from Ohio. So I moved to California and then moved back to Ohio. So I got set up, got a place. Nothing was happening for a long time, and which was fine with me. You know, I mean, in a way it was a relief. Again, I had not been hurt or anything like that, but this was very odd. I worked at another movie theater in Ohio for a while, and I used to work a night shift where they would show the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I'm not sure if everybody's acquainted with, but most people know what it is. They would show it at midnight, and I only had to walk to work up and back from work. So this was not a problem. I decided, okay, I'll volunteer to work that shift and whatever. So Saturday night. And one of those nights on the walk home in winter, it was winter. I remember that because there was snow. And I was walking home. All I had to do was take side streets. It took me about maybe less than 10 minutes to get home, to walk home. So, but one side street intersected. And one night, these guys showed up, some I almost said gentlemen, but they weren't. But basically, they were walking. They were going to cross me. I was by myself. There were about eight guys and they were talking. I could hear them. But when they saw me, they stopped talking. And I just went and said, something told me, just go ahead and keep walking. And as I kept walking, I started to hear footsteps coming up behind me. And I'm like, oh, great. So now I'm in fight or flight by myself. There's eight guys. They're, you know, a lot of them, and they're, you know, a lot younger than me. So I continued to walk. And then I kind of went into the, again, fight or flight. I was going to look over to see them, to see where they were. But as soon as I started moving my head to look over to see where they were, there was an object a flying object very low in the sky, flying over a church to my left. And we're not talking, again, all of the sightings that I've had have not been cheap. It's never been, what's that little dot in the sky? Did it move? Everything that I've seen has been very, very close up. And this was close up. And this object with three lights was gliding over the church. And I almost thought it was going to hit the steeple. I thought an airplane was getting ready to crash, but there's no sound. And it's coming right at me. And I looked at it. I looked behind me to see where these guys were now, and they were gone. When I took a look to see where this craft, this UFO was, now it's not right over the church. It's a little bit off to my right and floating over some homes very silently. And what I saw was a very big boomerang shaped object with three lights at the points. And I knew it wasn't a plane. As long as it was hovering there, it just kind of, it almost reminded me of like a sea turtle when they're in water and they're just kind of gliding by or whatever in the water. That's kind of the way it looked. And I got a good look at it, and it had a purplish hue light to it. But overall, it was the three white lights that, you know, on the points that to me stood out. And it floated upward and it left. And well, as it was leaving, I know this sounds silly, but I looked at it and I waved at it and I said, thank you. Because I knew somehow there was an intervention. So it was almost as if they got into the middle of this and they saw something that was, that might go down, and decided, no, it's not going to go down. So I have no idea if that was the same, you know, if those are the same group that had been taking me or whatever. But again, I had never been hurt, and it seemed to me that somebody wanted to protect me. So still grateful for that, even as I'm talking about it. So that kind of, I don't know if I've heard a lot of other people talking about being protected by, you know, their grays or the abductors or whatever group you want to call them. But it seemed to me like there was kind of a vested interest in keeping me safe at that night. And the reason I'm going on about this one is because that, again, just like some of the other experiences, was kind of a stunner for me. One of the other, I'm going to call, you know, again, stunners, this is when I was married. I'm no longer married, but happened when I was on my honeymoon. And what occurred there, it's actually part one and part two, and I'll try to capsule it. My then wife and I, we decided to get married in Sedona, Arizona. And if you understand Sedona is a very beautiful, but can be a very strange place. A lot of people talk about some mystical things happening or whatnot. And as it turns out, one of the nights of our honeymoon, it was a Thursday night. I remember we were at a bed and breakfast that was on a cliff in the mountains, and it was great, a great view, you know, stars in the sky, whatever. And there was one night where it's like I started having a little bit of asthma attack, and I didn't know where it came from. So I do have asthma. So I use my inhaler, and my wife was reading a book. She's laying on the bed reading a book, and you know, she's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I went in and said, "Yeah, I'm fine, but I'm gonna get a little bit of fresh air, just in case, and you know, just kind of relax." And she's like, "Okay." So even I was heading toward the patio, but even before I got to the door, I could see something outside, hovering outside in the night sky. It was a golden lit, saucer shaped object. And again, it was very close, and it was off a little bit off to my right. And I just kind of tippy-toed to the door and opened it up and decided to go outside and looked at it. And I then asked my wife, she's still on the bed reading a book. And I said, you know, could you come out here for a second, please? You know, and I tried to sound as calm as I could, but she knew something was wrong or something was up. And she's like, "So what's going on?" She comes out, and I said, I pointed to it. I said, "Have you seen anything like that since we got here?" And she looked at it and she stared with her mouth wide open and eyes wide open. And I yelled her name. I didn't yell her name. I just asked her her name first and just said it out loud. And I'm not going to mention her right now, but I said it about three times. And the third time I kind of had to yell it to kind of get her attention. I'm like, and she says, "No, I don't know what that is. I have not seen anything like that ever and not here or ever. And we stared at it. It didn't go anywhere. It just hovered. And I had a choice. I had three choices, actually. Because of where we were, and because we're, you know, it's basically a sightseeing place also, you know, some get some great views. They had a pair of binoculars there. They also had a huge flashlight there for whatever reason, but they had a huge flashlight. But the third choice was the one I went for, and it's unfortunate because at the time, this we're talking again in the early, you know, 2000s, still had cameras that you, not phones, but well, not, you know, camera phones or whatever like that, and just had a regular little instant camera. I had a camera waiting there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to take a picture of this thing. And I ran in to get the camera, and I started, you know, getting it ready. My then wife was still out there looking at it, and she goes, oh, Craig, forget it. You know what? It just shut off like a light. And I said, you've got to be kidding. And I went out there, and I looked, and it was no longer there. And I was so mad. I was mad at myself because there were binoculars there. I could have gotten a closer look. And there was a flashlight there. Not that I necessarily want to signal to it, but I, you know, I would have been curious to see what would have happened if I had. But I wanted to document it first. And that was the wrong choice. But that was a Thursday night. And I remember Friday went by fine. We went out and did our sightseeing and enjoyed ourselves, whatever like that. But that next Saturday, that Saturday morning following, was different. We woke up to the sound of helicopters over our room. And this is part two of this incident. We heard helicopters. They were very close. They sounded like they were going to land on top of the building. And they flew. We woke up to it. I was still in my pajamas or whatever. And I ran out to the patio to look what's going on. These helicopters were flying right over our room and right over to the area where we saw the craft. And I got to tell you, that was haunting. That was more, I mean, actually, I was less haunted by the UFO itself on Thursday night. What ended up happening was there were about eight helicopters, and these are the double rotor helicopters. And I knew it was military. I've got no problem with the military. I got no problem with them looking at something strange that happened, but they flew right over our room and right over to the area where we saw the craft. And while I was out there in the patio looking, I looked back to see where my wife was, and her head was like peeking out the door. She didn't want anything to do with this anymore. And I said, okay, you know what? Let's get ready to just get out of here and go get breakfast. We didn't see anything. I think I remember I told her, I said, we didn't see anything. We're not going to talk about it. And she agreed. But the interesting thing about that was when we got back that night, management came up to our room and they said, oh, you know, we have to change your room. We overbooked, we overdid something, and they never looked us in the eye. And I said, why? You know, we really like this room. It's like, well, okay, no, somebody, we overbooked and something. Well, we booked this months ago. And they're like, well, we know, but you know, but they never looked us in the eyes. And we basically decided, okay, we'll go ahead and move out of this room. My guess is that somebody else wanted to look at the room and they were told, okay, you have to get them out of there. I don't know for sure. It's just that the reason I say that is because of the nervousness of the management when they came to us. And that was kind of frightening. The room that they gave us actually wasn't, and by the way, the room they gave us didn't really have a view of all things. So, but yeah, it shook me up a little bit, you know, just knowing that they, you know, we did discuss it a little bit. Me and my ex-wife, we did discuss and said, hey, you know, don't you think it's odd that they moved us into this room right after that? Yeah, that incident. So I'm not sure what happened with that, but that was actually, that was a little bit later on. That it was in like maybe, trying to think. Again, early 2000s when that happened, because it's when we were married, so.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
But there's also been there was one time in one experience where they did tell me, they finally spoke. And it was back when this is before I was married, but I kind of skipped a beat there. But this is, again, when I moved back to Ohio, you know, after the incident with the object over the church and whatnot. But what ended up happening was I remember being taken. This is, the same scenario. But I was, in a seated position. And this time I could hear like what sounded like metal objects going around or clanking against each other. And I didn't know what was going on, but I had my eyes closed. And it felt like if I wanted to, I could just open my eyes and see what's going on. But so I just did not want to see it. I was like, okay, this is a little bit disconcerting to say the least. I don't know what this is. So basically what happened was when you say hear, it's more like in quotations. It's like, yeah, I felt somebody say, no, we want you to see. Open your eyes. So I opened my eyes. And when I did, what I saw were basically grays walking around, looked like it was in a lab. And they were just, again, just walking around almost like, you know, just doing whatever they're doing. And I looked up and I remember seeing light dancing around on whatever, if you want to call it a ceiling, but it was curved. And I thought to myself, is that them moving? Is that reflections of them moving around? Is the light coming from them? And I remember looking off to my right and I saw my mom. My mom was in the same kind of state, but she looked like she was unconscious. And I'm like, oh no, you know, you want to talk to me, you want to mess with me, whatever, but don't hurt my mom. Don't do anything with my mother. And they kept ignoring me. They just kept walking by doing whatever they're doing. And I got to a point where in my mind, I screamed it out. And said, don't hurt my mom. You know, if you hurt my mom, I'll find a way to get up from this chair and kill you, blah, blah, blah. I went crazy. And when I did that, I was doing it with my eyes clenched closed and and just with all my might in my mind. When I opened my eyes, I looked and they were all looking at me. And it was almost as if somebody said, again, in quotes, I'll put that in quotes, but I felt like somebody said, you know, do you mind keeping it down? We're trying to get some work done here. And I almost was going to get furious again, but I saw one of the grays in the background looking at me. They were still looking while the others went back to work. But this one paid attention and it felt like it was a female because it just felt like a female voice saying, have we ever hurt you before? And I said, no. Said, you know, really? She's like, really, think about it. Have we ever hurt you before? And I'm like, no. So the communication I got back was, well, then why would we ever hurt your mom? Don't worry. You're safe. Your mom is safe. Nobody is going to get hurt here. And I relaxed. So I relaxed a little bit. I still was not thrilled about this, but later on in that same experience, one of them kind of escorted me and my mom out of whatever this was. And it looked at me and actually the guy looked human and he just said, you know, I know you don't understand what's happening to you right now, but soon you'll know what it means to be chosen. And I thought, to be chosen for what? You know, I don't get answers to the questions. They just kind of tell me things, or they were kind of telling me things at that point. And he said, you know, he said it in a cheerful voice, almost like he was singing it when he said to, you know, soon you'll know what it means to be chosen. And I'm like, wow, what? But when I looked back from where we were leaving, it looked like we were leaving from my aunt's house in Alabama. So this kind of went, now it's like full circle to some degree, because I'm thinking, okay, during that sighting I had as a kid, is this what happened? And are they allowing me to see what happened during that experience? So it confused me for a second, but at the same time, it kind of made some sense. because obviously something strange happened when I saw that object flying across and down, and it leaves from when I was a kid, from the first experience I told you about. So maybe that's what occurred that day. And for whatever reason, it's waking up in me as an adult, years and years later. Those are some of the, the earlier experiences I had. And there are other ones that I could talk about, but those are the ones that frankly, were the ones that really were the shakeups, were the ones that really made a impact on me. But later on, I did find out that there were some other things that happened that were still happening that I just couldn't explain. I had another sighting in downtown Cleveland on my way home from a job, and I was on the freeway, and freeway sightings are not uncommon, but this was really odd because it wasn't really that late at night. It wasn't a little bit after 8 o'clock. This is like a couple of years ago. This is just a few years ago. And I'm on the freeway on going on I-90 East and going home. And I see downtown Cleveland coming up. I could see where the now the Guardians play and whatnot, and Cleveland Guardians, that is, and all the buildings and whatever coming up. But I see something kind of, again, hovering, and this time it's just black. It's shiny, it's black. And it's hard to see because it's night. But I'm going, what in the world is this thing? And it's descending, and it's going to be descending right where I'm going to be in about maybe 20 seconds because I can't slow down. But interestingly enough, I noticed behind me there's nobody else on the road. And ahead of me, there's somebody way ahead. So basically, it's just me. And when I got to the point where this object was hovering over what looked like an overpass little bridge, I could see two large lights, and on one side, there's like a smaller reddish light, and one side, there's when I say reddish, it almost between red and yellow and orange, I guess. And on the other side is kind of a greenish light. And this thing is huge, and it's very low. And I thought, it's not a helicopter. It's not a construction crew. This was huge. But I could not make out a shape. I couldn't tell you exactly what shape it was, if it was triangular or if it was, an oblong object. I don't know. But all I could tell you is very, very low, and the lights were very bright. But the funny thing is that when I looked at the two lights, which looked like it was on the underbelly of this object, the underside, they were not hard to look at. You could look right at them, and I wasn't squinting. Which is another thing about these objects. It's like every time I see them, they've been close up, but the light is bright, but it's not hard to look at. It's not like other lights, even the light bulb right now, I could look at it and I have to squint my eyes. That doesn't happen with these things. But I saw this thing and I didn't talk about it. I stayed on the highway. I think I sped up and I'm like, I cannot believe that this thing is that low. I don't know what this thing was. So those are the kind of sightings I've had. They've all been, like I said, they've all been close up. Nothing's ever been cheap when it comes to the sightings. And to this day, I don't know why that happened. I don't know if I'm going to have another memory of an abduction later on after that one. But that was the closest one that I've seen as far as proximity to me. And it was in the car. Unfortunately, I didn't stop. I kind of wish I had. But, I was wide awake. I was not hallucinating. I was not having any kind of odd medical emergency or anything like that. So I know what I saw, and I will stick by that.
Good job, Craig. Fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Craig, all this started off in Alabama from the sighting that you had with your sister.
Yes. Yes, it did.
It's very possible that all this started beforehand.
Yeah. As far as the one experience, again, where I was told about the soon you'll know what it means to be chosen, that to me was very, pretty obvious that, at that point that had to do with the Alabama sighting, that was what happened during the Alabama sighting. Now, obviously, I can't totally prove that, but to me, it's pretty much, question answered on that one. But there's a possibility that many of these things were just, memories of things that have happened already. They weren't happening in the present day, that they may have happened earlier, and maybe it's memories coming back. and opening up at a certain time. You know, I mean, or maybe it is present, or maybe it was a present day at that day. You know, I mean, I'm really not sure. And it's hard to decipher in that sense. But as far as that, what happened, I can tell you as far as with the fingerprints, that did happen that day. I mean, that was something that was not a memory. I do feel like somebody was trying to prove something. Although I do have one other thing to add about the fingerprints. It had been relayed to me that there's a possibility that I opened a door to other realms and maybe anybody entered in, that maybe that was not related necessarily to the alien abduction experience, that maybe that was something else and maybe it was something dangerous. I don't know that for sure. It does seem to me like, you know, it was still related to the experience overall, but I don't discount anything either. I don't just throw away other theories because there is a possibility that something else entered and saw something and decided, okay, I'm going to try to take advantage of this too. Who knows? And because we do know that there are other entities, there are other experiences of a very different kind. But again, I was still not hurt. But there has been some question from some people that maybe the handprint was something else. So I have no idea. You know, again, I wish I had more concrete, even at this point. I'm 56, I'll be 57 soon. And I still don't have a lot of solid answers to this. I'm hoping that we do get some solid answers soon. Maybe when the whole subject is not a joke anymore to people, I think more people are taking seriously, but not serious enough. You know, you still see news reports on things that about the subject matter, and sometimes it still is kind of under the veil of humor, frankly.
Yeah, that's still present, unfortunately. It's getting a little bit better, but there is some journalists and news companies which are still adding that little bit of a joke. And I think it's also a way of distancing themselves away from the story a little bit.
True. I agree. And, you know, let's face it, if it's somebody that you respect saying that this has happened to them, if it's somebody in your family or whatever, I don't think it would be as funny to these journalists or, you know, people who, you know, decide that they've, you know, going to make a mockery of this. But sometimes it's just, you have to see it to believe it, so to speak. And, you know, I don't think of myself as any more special than anybody else as far as who I am and what, you know, my presence in this world is, whatnot. It's an extraordinary experience, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I, that I'm an extraordinary person. And I don't mean that to put down myself. I just mean in the sense that, you know, that there's anything really special or anything that I feel different about when it comes to who I am. So, but it is something that is going on. I know I'm not alone. And, you know, I know a lot of people just don't want to talk about it. It took me a while before I actually started talking about it.
Certainly is happening with a lot of people. I mean, if you look at the past guests I've had on the show, you know, just everyday people which have never really spoken about this, maybe occasionally to a family member or even a colleague that they trust, but generally it's kept to themselves.
True. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I felt the most comfortable talking to about it when I did speeches about it to, you know, whether it was like a metaphysical expo or a UFO study group of some type, because obviously either these people have had their own experience or they're actually interested and they're not making, you know, fun of this. They actually have an interest in it. But, you know, frankly, even with my, you know, my sister who I mentioned who had the sighting with me as a kid, she doesn't talk about it that much. Oh, one thing I do want to add about that, though, it's interesting. Her and I, when we recount what we saw, I describe the object different than she does. And that is also kind of common when it comes to UFOs, which is strange. Two people can be looking at the same thing and see different features or see the whole thing as a different type of object. Some people might see a saucer. Some people see a sphere. Some people see a block with portholes in it. I mean, she said that it was not a perfect spherical object the way I saw it, although she did not describe exactly what, but she basically denied what I said in a sense that that's not what I saw. You know, she said she described it as looking different than what I saw it as. So as strange as it is, it still is. It's not uncommon that I've heard people say, it's almost like the Virgin Mary or something like that. Back in the day, people saw the Virgin Mary. And then other people said, I don't see the Virgin Mary, but what are all those lights in the sky? So if you do a little research on that, not to get too far from the subject matter, but it still to this day, my sister says it looked different than what I said. As far as the Alabama sighting.
I've had plenty of guests on here which say the same thing. When they see things with other people, they generally can be a little bit different somewhat.
Right.
You know, can be just perspective.
True, true. And yeah, I mean, that's an interesting phenomenon when it comes to this. But yeah, you know, a lot of people will say that they saw the same object, but I mean, I've heard so many stories about this and it's very interesting, but I'm still curious. I still feel like there's still going to be, you know, more answers later on. But again, the experience itself has slowed down. I have not had, I mean, since that sighting that I had on the way home from work a few years ago, I've really only had one other incident where, you know, it kind of was questionable. And it's hard to say. Let's just say that one time I was at work. And I was by myself. I was working sales. I was working retail sales. And I was in the store alone, you know, or in the area alone. And somebody, a man showed up. He looked like he was basically stomping. You know, he was stomping down the aisle. And he was going across from me. And he looked at me. And he walked right up to me. He was dressed. And frankly, I'm not just going to go ahead and say it. It looked like a man in black. He had a black fedora hat. He was kind of tall. Kind of gangly, frankly, and his face kind of reminded me of the old movie Nosferatu, where, you know, it looked like something was not right. And to be very honest with you, I thought that maybe this was a man who was ill. So I wasn't frightened of him, but it was a little bit shocking of his appearance. But he had a black fedora hat, and he frankly looked like he was wearing clothes that were from another era. He looked like he was actually wearing more of a cape than a coat. And it was black. Everything he wore was black. And he walked up to me and kind of like, you know, I mean, I was in the shoe area and selling men's shoes. He didn't look like he wanted shoes. He just walked up to me and he stared at me. And he, with his mouth open, his teeth were kind of jagged. And again, I thought that maybe this man was just ill or maybe he was in recovery or something. I will say this. I dealt with a disorder when I was younger that unfortunately did some things to my appearance. And unfortunately, it was very embarrassing. I got bullied by it, whatever. And my decision to that was, I'm never going to treat anybody like that. So if I see anybody who has any kind of issue, I'm never going to look at them funny. I'm never going to say anything and, you know, back off or whatever. And I didn't with this man because of that experience I had when I was a kid and the way I was treated. So when I looked at him, I nodded at him, you know, and I wasn't scared of him. I just nodded at him and he kind of almost looked at me confused and he looked off to his right and he walked over to the shoes and started acting like he was looking at them. I'm like, sir, can I help you? And he kind of shook his head no. And I said, well, if there's anything you need, let me know. Just like I would do with any customer. But I went around the corner because I still felt a little bit, I wasn't worried about the guy's appearance. I was just worried about the way he approached me. And I went around the corner and just kind of gathered myself a little bit. I didn't want to, you know, it felt kind of funny around him. But when I went back to look for him, he was gone. I didn't see anybody leave the door. The doors were right, not that far away from the area that I was working in. And again, this is a department store. So he apparently just split. He just left. But I just remember thinking, again, maybe I didn't react the way he thought I was going to react when he came up to me, because he kind of stormed up to me. And I looked him right in the eye. I was not scared of him. And because, again, of my personal experience with the way people treated me about my appearance at one time, I wasn't going to mistreat him. So I think maybe in a way, if his intention was to instill a little bit of fear in me, it didn't work. And I think maybe that's the reason why he left. But I had never had anything like that happen before. I've never seen anybody who looked like this before. His skin was whitish and grayish and leathery. And I mean, again, it looked like somebody who was actually ill, but the way he was dressed immaculately for somebody who may be from another century to some degree, but the black fedora hat, the cape, the slacks or whatever he's in, the shoes even were very shiny. I mean, you know, he was dressed well, but he just didn't look well. But when I told somebody about this, they said, okay, because I thought when I first looked at him, he looks like death. And when I told somebody else about it. It's like, no, that was a man in black. That was not the angel of death. That was a man in black. Apparently, when I tell other people, I've told other people in meetings too, and they kind of agreed, yeah, it looks like you got visited by a man in black. I'm like, okay. But I just left it alone. I haven't had anything like that happen since. But I do remember it. And that was, again, not too long ago.
Yeah, it certainly does sound like it. I mean, they're usually very well-dressed, bold, very pale skin, eyebrows missing.
Yes.
So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, honestly, Nick, I thought that it was maybe when I first looked at him, I thought it was maybe a cancer patient. But, you know, I just remember looking at him thinking, I mean, the way he was moving and the way he was dressed, honestly, it just looked like a movie character. But it wasn't. But the way he stormed up to me and stood right in front of me and stared down at me, it looked like he was trying to elicit some kind of, again, fear out of me. And I wasn't scared of him. And I think, again, it balances with the experience I had as a kid and the way I was treated. So I wasn't going to treat him badly because of his appearance if he was ill. Because, so he just kind of looked confused and looked off to his right and left. He never said a word. But, you know, I mean, I'm bringing it up because it did stand out. It was another one of those standout experiences. And, who knows, maybe I've got this wrong, but I don't think so.
I mean, usually their behavior is usually odd. And I think the idea is to instill fear in people, sometimes to get them to not talk or report something. But yeah, their behavior is usually quite odd. And it'd be interesting to know what kind of their actions they were hoping to elicit from you. Regardless, you know, it didn't work. You treated them.
Well, yeah, I treated him with respect. I mean, I didn't, you know, I wasn't scared of him, but I treated him first like a regular customer. And second, like I said, you know, somebody who may have had his own health issue or whatever. But as time went on, I kind of went, that just the way he approached me seemed to be a little bit more of a, you know, imposing, you know, way to approach somebody. That's not the way you approach somebody who wants to buy, you know, you want to buy shoes from. So that was another thing that kind of stuck out. But again, from those two, that sighting I had on the way home from, you know, a job, and that experience with that gentleman, we'll call him a gentleman. Those are the last two things that really stood out to me as far as anything connected to this. Since then, things have been kind of quiet. But the problem is that just like with when it comes to this experience, it never really totally stops. Something else comes up. Something else happens. And it's usually something that, you know, is kind of stunning. I'm sure because you've talked to a lot of people. And I'm sure they've also had experiences slow down, but not necessarily stop.
That's right. Things do slow down as people age. Things are obviously very busy and clustered during the younger years and then the teenage years and the 20s and 30s and then 40s, 50s, 60s. It tends to slow down a bit, but I don't think it actually finishes. You know, I don't think it just stops. I mean, it slows down.
Correct.
And then the experiences get very infrequent. But it's interesting that, you know, you saw your mother in one of these occasions. Your sister had the experience. Yep. And for yourself, it seems that it's always been looking after you in some way, you know, with health in the very beginning. And later on, you know, if that's what the situation was, where you could have been in danger for these eight guys hanging around. So it seems like they've always been kind of watching over you in some way. Health-wise, it was to do with the stomach, you know, when they were dealing with you before. Have you had problems before that or after in relation to your stomach?
Actually, not so much after, although I will say that I did radically change my diet. And nobody told me necessarily to, but I realized that some common things that everybody eats and drinks, that I just all of a sudden decided to stop eating and drinking. And I haven't had really any problems since then. I do remember another famous, okay, but an author who had this experience, and he's very well known. And I remember seeing an interview with him, and he mentioned something about his, you know, the Grays telling him stop eating chocolate because honestly, chocolate could lead to your demise or something. I mean, it was like, you know, for you. And he decided to stop eating chocolate. Now, I was never told anything specific to stop eating, but it does seem like as I was having these experiences, I gradually stopped eating certain things that were causing me some other problems, not just with my stomach, but with other, areas of my body too. And luckily I have not had any issues, with, you know, the stomach or, you know, any kind of, you know, issue there. I don't know if I was told to, hey, cut out these foods and cut out that food and whatever like that. I don't know if they were involved in that, but it does seem to me like since they did the, you know, thing with this, you know, the, what seemed like a kind of a healing process, I gradually stopped eating some things and now I just don't eat them at all and I haven't had any issues. So who knows? Maybe I was told and I consciously don't remember, but subconsciously I do, you know, maybe.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And even just chocolate as an example, I mean, sometimes it can be poisonous to your body. You know, it's important, the things we've got going into our body, obviously, and how and to do with our health. Even the example with pets,
true.
You know, you can't give chocolate to your pets because it's poisonous to them.
Exactly. Yeah, very true. And, you know, one thing I did want to mention, too, because you actually brought this up a second ago when you mentioned my sister and my mom. A lot of other family members and extended family, well, not okay. Yeah, I'll just say, yeah, a lot of other family members, blood relatives, have also had some kind of experience in my family. And it's very odd because a lot of times people have mentioned it runs in families where they kind of follow a bloodline sometimes. I think maybe I'm the only one who's really willing to talk about it or write about it. But my sister, my mother, my father, and some uncles and who have passed, some of whom have passed away, but they've all had either sightings close up or missing time or something to that extent. And it's interesting because, you know, I thought for a while there I was very unique and that, you know, it was all after me and whatever, but not that I felt special about it. But gradually I started to learn that other relatives had other experiences. And I'm like, wow. So maybe there is a bloodline connection to it. And, you know, again, I'm not the expert here. I don't know for sure what that entails, but it's just interesting. I can confirm that other family members have had other kinds of experiences too.
It's more common than uncommon. Things like this could start off in your family's past, maybe a great grandparent or even further back. I mean, your sister, you say she's quite apprehensive to talk about this.
Well, yeah, she, you know, I mean, besides that sighting, she really hasn't had, I mean, at least as far as I know, she hasn't had anything else happen to her as far as whether abductions or other sightings or anything like that. But that one was so close up that, you know, it did make leave a profound effect on her to the point where it's like, you know, we do bring it up, but she's not, again, not everybody's into this stuff. Not everybody is, you know, we all react different to it as far as what it is and how we feel society's going to accept it and whatever. And, you know, so not all of my family members talk about it. You know, my mom, she does talk about it. She, you know, has had some things happen where, you know, her and I have discussed, but we're the ones who are willing to talk and willing to acknowledge. The other family members I mentioned, not so much. And, you know, my aunt, and, you know, my aunt who passed away, she had a very close-up experience also, but, you know, she barely talked about it and basically talked about it a little bit before she passed away, just to relay it to my mom, and my mom relayed it to us, to the rest of us, and I'm like, wow. So, because she's not here to talk for herself, I don't want to go too far into it, but let's just say there was an incident also in Ohio that is actually a fairly famous incident, and she saw it happen close up in another part of Ohio, not Cleveland. But I wish I could go into it, but you know what? Somebody's telling me maybe not go into it too far, but let's just say that she saw something very close up that she did not expect at all. And so again, amongst our family, uncles, aunts, and my parents and other family members, we've seen things. And not everybody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, people deal with things in different ways. And you're right, some people just aren't interested. You know, they've had this experience and like, no, not interested. You know, which is not my thing. But it is a little bit of confirmation, isn't it? You know, you've had these experiences happen to you and you found out that, you know, it has happened to other family members. So there's a little bit of confirmation there.
True. Yeah, I guess it just depends on the amount of curiosity and wanting to solve type thing. But one thing I do have to add to this is that there is something a little bit insidious about the fact that no answers have really been given as far as like the experience for me personally. You know, yes, I can say that I've never been hurt and I've never really had anything too traumatic I mean, yes, stunning, yes, but not traumatic happened to me during these things. But the fact that you don't get any answers to it does leave a little bit of a suspicion as far as why it's happening. And it makes you feel like it's not a good reason. I mean, personally, it's like, you know, I'm hoping it's a good reason, or at least one that we can all kind of be okay with. But when you don't get any answers at all, when you don't get any confirmation as far as like, you know, why exactly this is happening. I mean, granted, you know, the one experience I had where it's like, yes, we know you don't know exactly what's happening to you right now. It's like, well, why don't you just tell me instead of leading me on this long kind of puzzle? I don't need that. So, and neither does anybody else. Anybody else who's had this experience knows what I mean. You don't want to be led along and hoping that it's something that makes some sense, and then it just doesn't. So,
introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
That's kind of where I am right now. So I'm still a little bit suspicious even after all this time.
Absolutely. It's important to collect these accounts, try and piece and see where they connect and intertwine and see if we can get answers. And you're right, the answers are limited. But hopefully by bringing these accounts out, we can maybe patch things together a little bit and fill out the spaces. Now, people have experiences and it crosses the whole spectrum. People have very positive experiences. Others at the other end have very negative experiences. I think it's the way to look at it is if we was to take a pet to the vet, they wouldn't understand at all what's going on. You know, you've taken them away from the warmth of their bed and they're on this cold table being prodded and poked with this light in their face. And I think right. A lot of that is what it is. You know, we're taking our pet to the vet for his own health, so he's going to be okay. The pet doesn't understand this. You know, they're just, it's scary for them. You know, they're surrounded by strangers and bright lights. And I think
it's true.
I think a little bit that's what it is.
I could agree with that too. I think that you're right. You know, I mean, there might be something that to them is very basic. When I say them, I mean the Grays or whoever else is doing this. They may think it's very basic what they're doing and helpful and whatnot, but to the person who it's happening to, yeah, we don't understand it. And maybe we are on a different level as far as, you know, mental level, as far as understanding. You know, I've heard some people, and I don't like this analogy, but I've heard some people kind of say something to the effect of, look, you know, to mentally and as far as brain goes, to them, we're almost like at the point where a cockroach is, you know, where it's like, yeah, you're alive, but, you know, you're just kind of, you're not nearly at our intelligence level. So that to me is actually kind of, I'm hoping that's not the case, but, you know, I understand where people are coming from when they say that. I mean, it's to the point where it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe we really don't understand and maybe we are very much, you know, in a different level than them. I'd like to think that we're higher than them, but then look at what we do to ourselves. So who knows?
You know? Exactly. I'm sure they look at us and go, what are they doing? They just don't understand. They don't get it. I think that it'd be silly to think they're here to save us and all that kind of stuff. I think they have many different reasons. I think a lot of it is for their benefit. In your case, they were helping you and keeping you healthy for whatever reason, you know, but there is a reason, regardless whether we understand it or not, there's a reason behind it.
True. Right. Yeah. And I will say this. There was even one time recent, well, when I say recent, again, it's like a few years ago, where again, I was getting ill, but this time it had nothing to do with my stomach. It was more with my lungs. And this is way before coronavirus hit. So it wasn't coronavirus, just put that out, at least as far as I know. But I do remember I was working at a bank Somebody said that, you know, they were a little sick, but they, you know, it's not contagious. It's just a sinus infection, this and that. But the funny thing is that every time he would announce that, somebody in the place would get sick. Well, this time it was me, and whatever it was affecting my lungs. And I remember coming home and just kind of to the point where, should I go to a hospital? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's like I can breathe, but obviously it's getting heavy and it's probably going to get heavier and my inhaler is not going to work on this. I could tell that. And I remember going to sleep and I don't remember any abduction phase. In other words, there was no like, you know, wake up, can't move, lift from the bed and then out. It was more like I opened my eyes and I was already within wherever they were. And I was laying on a flat table or whatever. And one of them came walking up, and I'm talking about a gray, you know, looked at me and just looked down. I didn't hear anything. I didn't get any message necessarily, but I did hear like a whirring, a kind of a, I don't know, sound like a machine of some type, like a generator that was kind of evenly pitched and getting a little bit louder gradually. But it was looking at me, and I just woke up. And I turned on the light, but when I turned on the light, I felt like I got a shot in the arm, like a vaccination, like a flu shot. And because, I mean, I remember going, ow, and getting up and, you know, looking at my arm and my shoulder, rather, I'm sorry, and seeing a slight little teeny little, I don't know what it was, but basically it's like, you know, you couldn't really tell the difference between that and any other. Frankly, like if you have a little bit of acne or anything like that, you couldn't tell. It didn't look like it was that big of a deal, but it hurt. And as I'm looking at it and kind of touching it and it's still tender, I noticed that my breathing was fine. That I wasn't feeling like my, like congested in the chest or anything like that at all. And then from there, I was fine. So I don't know what happened with that. But again, it looked to me that my health was like a little bit in peril. And then here they are. So again, it's like an investment. I feel like, you know, I mean, not that I really want to put that label on myself, but it feels like there's some kind of interest in keeping me okay for now. I'm not really sure. And, you know, I know that, again, other people have said things that are kind of similar. I would liken that to a more positive experience or a more positive outcome, obviously, because, you know, I'm alive and I've been helped out a few times. And sometimes I wonder if a lot of the experiences were based on health issues. And, you know, some people look at that and kind of go, well, I mean, they're helping you out. They're angelic. But you can be doing something that is kind of in the angelic category, but your intentions might actually be something else still. You know, I mean, obviously we see that with human beings, but, you know, I give them kind of a B minus as far as what I feel about them or what I felt about the experience, because overall I have not been, like I said, I've not been hurt or really traumatized by it. But on the other hand, not being given any answers is a minus. So not being given anything to go on is a minus.
Just maybe that'll come later.
Maybe, you know, maybe on my 60th birthday or something. I don't know. And even then, that's 3 years away. It's like, oh no. but we'll see. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens. And hey, if something else did happen, I would let you know. I would email you and let you know or something.
That would be wonderful. Now, to our listeners, Craig has written a book about his experiences. It's called Aware of Their Presence. And if you're interested in following Craig's experiences, it's available on Amazon. Is that right, Craig?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So what I'll do is I'll put links down in the show notes and also on the website, because I'm sure there's so much more in there, Craig.
There is. Yeah, I obviously it's hard to capsule all of these things. And, you know, there are other experiences that I've had that I did, you know, mention there. So it's, but, you know, honestly, again, I feel like, you know, I put it out there pretty evenly. And when I talk about it, like when I'm talking to you, I'm as honest as I possibly can be. There is no agenda here for me as far as, you know, trying to be famous or to be whatever. Obviously, you know, people write a book or do something, you know, a movie or whatever. For me, it's more like, you know, I just feel like there are other people going through this who have not talked. And when this is such a, you know, again, extraordinary experience, it's hard not to talk about it or write about it. So for me, it was almost natural that I had to do something kind of back it up. But I really do hope that people can be more open-minded about it overall. And, you know, it does seem like, you know, some people are taking it a little bit more seriously, the subject matter. Let's hope that that continues. Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate the fact that you are doing this for, you know, you're not being exploitive about it. You're not being, you know, obviously you take it seriously and you're giving a lot of people a voice on it. And I appreciate that. Are you there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay. I just heard a beep. I'm sorry. I don't know if there, another call was coming through for me or something, but I heard a funny beep on the phone. Now, it's possible that somebody was trying to call me and I just didn't get the call, but the beep sounded different than what my phone usually does. So I don't know if maybe I'm being listened to or not. But, you know, I feel like still I'm going to be okay. I don't feel like I'm going to be, you know, hey, if anything weird happens to me, you know you and I talk.
Well, listen, the one thing I've noticed over the last few years doing this, that certain accounts stand out more. Now, I'm a public show, you know, there's nothing to hide. If they want to listen, they can just listen to the show. But I do have problems in relation to the show. Certain stories or certain accounts which I'm recording will have certain interference. But when I'll be talking to people on Skype and it will cut out, I will have power cuts. The internet will shoot down.
Wow.
I've got cameras around the house and on the outside. And there's been times where I've turned and looked at the screen. It's just on the left of me. And my cameras have been moving. Now, I have sole access. I'm the only one that can move those cameras.
Wow.
I've then got to shut all my cameras down, change passwords and stuff. Now, given the fact people do hack, people that are just sat at a computer, they will hack into certain places. I understand that. But this is something I get. My emails, I have a kind of, I've got software working on my emails, so they're filtered. So I know when someone's looking at my emails or someone's read it or clicked a link. It just means that if I send an email, I know when someone's read it.
I gotcha. Okay.
I can receive emails overnight and then I'll come down, turn on the computer, and these emails have been read. And I know I haven't read them already because I have a process the way I deal with information. And they've been looked at.
I see.
Someone has looked at my emails. So this is something I get.
Wow.
Things like this only really stand out on certain accounts. You know, people just lights in the sky, no problem. You know, I don't get the problem. And I've also had guests which have come to me. This is an example. So 2 years ago it was, she was a stewardess and she'd worked on some UK flights for a major company. And she'd written a diary of all these experiences that she's had and the pilots and other crew members over the years. And she was going to come on the show. And one thing she did do, she was retired from this particular company.
Yeah.
But one thing she did do, she checked her previous contract she had, and she went to him and asked him, you know, is it okay to share this? And they were like very blasé about it. You know, they didn't care. She doesn't work for them anymore. And when she was a week before she was due to come on, now I knew her social media. I know she contacted me on Facebook and all that kind of thing. So she was a real person, all right? So she's a real person. She had this job. And over just the course of a night, I emailed her, which I do with everyone. I contact them and say, you're still okay to come on. And the email bounced. Okay, it bounced back. So this email account no longer worked. So I then went and checked her social media to contact her. Gone.
Wow.
Nothing left. But yeah, she just completely vanished. I haven't heard from her since.
Well, boy.
So. And I checked up on her names and made sure there was no missing people or anyone was hurt or anything like that. But nothing came up. But she was a real person. She had this job and as if just vanished into thin air. So this does happen. And years ago, when I was researching, I was at the county. Now, I used to spend time around the county and around the country just investigating sightings. And sometimes it'd be abductions. Midnight is and towards the end of the night is. And I was away. Right. I was away from my house. And so I spent 12 hours away. When I returned, I had been broken into. Now,
oh boy.
As you can remember, in those days, we didn't really use computers so much. All my files were physical files in a cabinet. I'd have names, all the case information that was on here, and they were all gone. Everything was stolen. All that information was taken, and anything worth taking, which I don't think I had much at that time, was all left there. Just only the file stuff was taken.
Wow. Yeah. I luckily have not had too many things like that happen, but you know, there have been some things that have been a little suspicious. There was, there's something I forgot to mention to you that happened. Let's just say that I had some x-rays done that showed similar objects that were in my knee that are currently now in my back, but they're in a place where you can't operate on them. I mean, the Cleveland Clinic is actually very well known worldwide for treating people in royalty and whatever like that. People get flown in and whatever because it's a great clinic. I actually went to them to take a look at this, and they're like, okay, we wouldn't be able to operate on this because it's too close to, it's too close to your spinal column, and it would be risky. In other words, they're basically telling me I could be paralyzed if they did get these out. But these things were discovered actually on another trip to Sedona with my ex-wife, because I couldn't board the plane because metal kept, you know, the detectors kept detecting metal on me. It turns out that they were inside my back.
So the things you had removed from your back, and then you had these separate ones that are in your, so the ones that are in your knee and you know, the separate ones that are in your back. And obviously it's in a very sensitive area, so removing them would be dangerous. And as they've given,
yep,
they never really gave you a problem. You know, you didn't have any back other than transferring via the airport, but they didn't really give you any problems other than that.
Well, what they did detain me for a few minutes, because basically they had to use the wand to, you know, go over my back. Because after I took off as much of clothing I could, and shoes and everything else and jewelry, and it was still setting off the detector, they decided, okay, well, let's bring the wand over. And so they had to detect me before I could board the plane, or detain me before I could board the plane. So they went over my body with it. And when they got to the small of my back, that's when it started indicating something. And the gentleman who did this, he's like, well, is something in your torso, the like toward your back or whatever like that. But I think he asked me, have you had back surgery or something like that? And the honest answer to that was no. Now, I certainly could not go into the UFO stance at that point, not at the airport, not with airport security. If that were the case, the vacation to Sedona would be canceled. Just put it that way, putting it mildly. But it's like, you know, I just told him, I said, no. He said, well, you know, you can go. You know, I mean, they decided not to go any further, but they didn't detect, I guess, anything that was usually unusual. But they're like, yeah, you've got some kind of metal in your back. And at that time, my ex-wife came up to me and said, okay, when we get back from this vacation, you have to get your back x-rayed and find out what's going on, what that is. And I'm like, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So when I got x-rayed, they showed two objects that actually looked very similar to the objects that were taken out of my knee when I was a child. And it was shocking. I mean, it's, you know, so that kind of stood out. And by the way, I did go to one investigator about it, and him and I talked for a while. But when I sent him the x-rays and wanted to get his opinion on it, all of a sudden he stopped talking. And I couldn't reach him. He's still alive. It's not that, it's not, you know, that he's off the earth or anything like that. But he certainly stopped talking to me after he got those x-rays. And I was like, well, okay.
Now that is interesting.
I spoke to him on the phone a few times. Yeah, I spoke to him on the phone a few times. And we discussed basically the same way I'm discussing with you what had happened to me. We even traded books. Sent him mine. He sent me one of his. It got to the point where I sent him the x-rays. I couldn't contact him. I tried to contact him, and he was never available. And I think, I'm not really sure what happened with that. I have no idea. I've got nothing against him, or, you know, I can't say anything for him because I just stopped talking to him.
It's the problem when, you know, these researchers and investigators, they tend to be very public.
Yes.
I'm not always super trusting with everyone when it comes to information. I kind of think I trust myself with information, but when it comes to other people, I'm never too sure. And especially people involved in the field, you know, I don't trust everyone. I don't trust even the organizations because, you know, there's been times where information relayed to me, which has been negative on their side. You know, they've been doing things which have been a little bit untowards. So it's difficult.
I see. Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with this type of thing. It is. Don't trust no one.
Well, yeah, Mulder had it right. Right.
I think he did have it right. But again, you know, there are good people that do work in a subject, you know, but there are other peoples which, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's financial gain, tend to mess things up a little bit. But yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, you know, we'll see from here. Again, if things do expand and things, you know, research gets even more serious, I don't mind watching shows like, say, like, you know, Unsealed Alien Files or, you know, Unsolved Mysteries or anything like that. The thing is, though, I do get a little bit tired of the infotainment angle of UFOs, because to me, it's like, as long as you kind of keep it in that category, it's still not really being taken that seriously. It's fascinating and it's fun to watch, but it's really, frankly, to some people, it's basically like a good speculative movie. And that's really not, you know, for somebody who's gone through it or somebody who's really researched it, that's not really enough.
That's right. Craig, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Well, thank you. No, I appreciate talking. And yeah, I appreciate what you're doing too. So listen, if you ever want to email me, or I'm on Twitter still. So, I mean, you know, you can always, you know, tweet.
Okay, Craig, that'd be great. Okay. Keep in contact. All right. Take care. And we will speak soon.
All right. You too. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Bye-bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Craig for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.